I'd like to turn to John chapter 10, especially those words. I'm sure we've all heard them, learned them in Sunday school, if we've been brought up in Sunday school. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And with these words read in our hearing and our Bibles open, let us ask for the Lord's help as we turn to consider his word this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for already the sense of your blessing and your presence with us this evening. O Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you, O God, that you are willing to go all the way to Calvary to die as the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. And yet, Lord, we personally, many of us here this evening, can thank you personally for dying for us. And we thank you, O God, for that day when we came to understand our personal need of a Saviour. And for that day that we came as individuals and personally came to our Saviour, confessed our sin, and confessed that we needed a Saviour. And we thank you, Lord, that you heard our call and our cry, and you saved us. And Lord, as we come this evening, we're aware that this evening there might be someone in our gathering as yet not ready for heaven, have never taken that personal step of seeking the Lord for salvation. We pray for help, for wisdom and grace tonight, that they would come and see that the Lord Jesus Christ stands here, willing and able and ready to save. We thank you, Lord, you've not left us in the dark concerning salvation, the way to heaven, the way to eternal life, how we can be right with God. You've given us your word as a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. You've shown us a clear way, a direct way, a definite and a certain way. And yet, Lord, we know that the natural man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness to him. They're to be spiritually discerned. We therefore seek the help and the aid of your Spirit, Lord, that you would take of the simple and plain truth and apply it with understanding, with light and with power and with illumination and with salvation to every one in our gathering tonight. I need help. We pray for help this evening, that Christ would be magnified. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. When our Lord taught the people or preached, he didn't use complicated language, obscure language. Often he used plain, simple, everyday speech and everyday words. The Bible tells us that the common people heard him gladly. The ordinary people could understand his message. He often used illustrations, simple everyday objects, to teach the greatest and the most powerful and deep spiritual truths. We have him personally saying, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. In our reading here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He used simple parables, didn't he? Many simple stories from everyday experience and everyday life. A sower went forth to sow, he said. He spoke of two ways. He spoke of two trees. He spoke of two foundations. And as we consider the Lord's approach to teaching and preaching and expounding these great, powerful, eternal truths, he had one aim as he taught, and that was to reach sinners, to reach the people. He did not seek to flirt with men's intellect and knowledge. His object was to reach the people. That was his aim and his purpose. And here, as we come to verse 9, this simple and yet powerful truth, he says, I am the door. Everybody understands what a door is. Everybody can relate to it, can't we? Not beyond our capacity to go through a door and know what it means. And his meaning is clear. And even as we see that the Lord uses this object here in particular, but often many of his objects, as his hearers would possibly be away from his message, every time they would be confronted with a door, that message would again be primary in their thought. It would continue to speak, continue to teach and challenge their hearts. And this evening, as we consider this message here tonight, I would like just to notice just four simple things from the Lord's words here. And the first one is the plain illustration. It's a very plain illustration. I am the door. The importance of a door is self-evident, isn't it? It's an essential thing. It's a blessing to have a door. Let us imagine there was such a place, and we don't have to imagine too hard, with many big shopping malls and many great places for all kinds of goods. Imagine a place, a building, that had everything that men and women, boys and girls could want. Everything that we could desire and need, there was provision in this place for it. There was all kinds of medicines for those who were sick and ill. All kinds of clothing for those who had nothing to wear and were in rags. Washing for those who were impure and unclean. There was all kinds of food that heart and mind and man could need. All kinds of refreshment for the refreshing of those who were thirsty. Imagine there was such a place, but if there was only windows and no door, that you could see all the provision and yet not have a way in. What would it be if we knew all that we know about what the Bible says about heaven? What would it be if there was no door into heaven? We have much that the Bible tells us about heaven. I have not seen, nor ear heard, the Bible says. Neither has it even entered into the heart of man. We can't even imagine the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The Bible tells us, if you turn with me to the book of Revelation, and we are told something of heaven in chapter 7 and verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation 7 verse 10. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are red and white robes? Whence came they? I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Verse chapter 21. I know our readings are a bit long. This was brief. But it just lets us see what the Bible says about heaven. Heaven is an amazing place. Wonderful place. The Bible allows us into some of its secrets and some of its blessings and some of its provision. In Revelation 21 and verse 3 says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. All things new. No more death. No more crying. No more sorrow. No more pain. They're all passed away in this place. And what would it be if there was no door into heaven? But the good news is, there is a door. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, I am the door. There is a door into heaven. There's only one door. It's not a door among many doors that you can go through. There is one door. God has appointed one door, and only one. There is one God, the Bible says, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not many doors. Just one. Neither is there salvation, Peter preached, in any other. For there is none other name under heaven. None other. Given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible tells us here in verse 1 that those who try to come any other way are thieves and robbers. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. There is a door. There's a simple illustration here. And there's also the broad invitation. While it's a simple illustration, the door, the invitation is broad. It couldn't be any wider, it couldn't be any broader, it couldn't be any more inclusive. Sure it couldn't. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Let us remember who's giving the invitation here. It is the one who is the way to heaven. It is his invitation. It's the one who says later in the chapter, I give unto my sheep eternal life. Here is the one whose gift it is to impart eternal life. And he is the one whose word is dependable and is reliable, as we heard and as we emphasized at the beginning of our message. This invitation is not the invitation of the church. It's not the invitation of the preacher. It is far greater and of far more value and of far more importance and far more worth. It is the invitation of the one who says, I am the door. I am the door into heaven. I am the way to heaven. He is the one who has made the invitation as broad as it possibly can be broad. If any man, no matter who you are, no matter what our circumstances and our life has been, this is the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do well to acknowledge it and to understand it and to realize that the Lord welcomes all. And whoever come to the Lord, whatever their background has been, whatever their past has been, we must accept. We were learning something about that this morning in Jonah. Jonah had to learn a lesson that salvation is of the Lord, that it's not the power of the preacher. It's not the restrictions of man. Even the Ninevites, those detested people of the nation, those enemies of the nation, even if they come, we must accept them and we must welcome them because the Lord invites them. The Lord calls them. The Lord has said to them, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The good news is that even in Nineveh, there's a remnant, even to this day. Even to this day, there's still a remnant in Nineveh, in Iraq, of people that know the Lord. There is the plain illustration. There's the broad invitation. There is the simple action. If any man enter in. And as we've already emphasized, the action, the illustration here is as plain and simple as it possibly can be. Even a child can understand what it is to enter through a door. It's not beyond any in our capacity here to grasp that truth. And there are children here in our service tonight. And sometimes we can preach, speak in a meeting like this and forget there's children here. Sometimes, I know as a child I was brought along to church, didn't always get what the preacher said. But here's a message that even the child can grasp. And maybe we should even think of the child as well tonight. Except ye become as little children, ye shall no wise enter. It's a simple message. The way of salvation is not complicated. Here is the Prince of Preachers, the greatest of preachers of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he's talking about the greatest thing that any of us will ever do. And the language is as plain as day, simple as simple can be. Sometimes we make it complicated. Sometimes we overcomplicate that which Jesus has made as plain and simple. He says, Jesus said, if any man enter in. It's simple and yet it's essential. We need to enter in. If you do not enter in through the door, You cannot enjoy the blessings of the Lord Jesus' salvation. You must enter in. Now, you might come to the door. You might look at the door. Look at it a long time. You might admire the fact that there is a door. You might even be thankful there is a door and praise the door. We've all been singing to the Lord tonight. You might praise the door. You might defend it in your home and your family. You might even be very close to the door. So much so that you could even touch it. But that is not enough. You must enter in. You must enter in. Have you ever entered in through the door? That's the question. Judas, and I'm sure some of you have heard the saying, Judas kissed the door of heaven, but he went to hell, didn't he? In the garden, he came so close to the Lord, so much so that he kissed him. And yet with all of that, so near and so close, yet he did not enter in. Sure he didn't. We can be so near, but we need to enter in. Have you ever entered in? Have you ever personally taken that step and come to the Lord Jesus? Maybe you've been at the door for a long time, pondering, wondering. Maybe it's just you do not know what to do. You know, it's very possible. And often we can make the mistake of imagining that everybody in all of our service knows exactly what it is to be saved and how to be saved. And we can assume, and yet the thing that's holding some people back, they do not actually know what to do. And Jesus here is the one who says, you must enter in. You must come to him. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me. And how do we come to him? We simply come to him on the authority of what he says in his word. By faith, we say, Lord, you said you're the door. I come to you just as I am. In all of my simplicity, in all of my confusion, in all of my helplessness and need. I'm just coming, Lord, as I am. And you said, if I come to you, you'll in no wise cast me out. As a child, I came to the Lord by simple childlike faith. As we said, the way is not complicated. There's many things we've to learn as we go on in the Christian life. But the way is not complicated. The means is simple. The way is open. The way is clear. Just come as you are. Just come as he said, I am the way. Come to me. The Lord says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'll not disown you. I will not ignore you. I will not turn away from you. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No mention here of confirmation. No mention of baptism. No mention of the sacraments. No mention of the church. It's coming. It's coming to a person. And it's coming to the person of the Lord Jesus. All these other things have their place afterwards. But you must enter in. That simple action. And finally, we have the great provision. Time is gone. That simple and that great provision. He shall be saved. The Lord Jesus uses this word. The Bible uses the word saved often. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. That's our prayer for our families, isn't it? Our heart's desire, our prayer to God for them is that they would be saved. The angel said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And it is a descriptive word. Jesus uses this word here. What is he talking about? Our greatest need is a Savior, because we're all perishing. We're all in danger of perishing. We do not know what a day brings forth. I'm sure you have many stories that you can tell, and there's many sudden passings that you have come across. Just in this past week, we have come across two very unexpected passings. People began the week not knowing they were going to end the week in eternity. Began the day, in fact, didn't know they were not going to see another day. Young man, Christian lad, driving on Friday outside Antrim, and in a moment another car collided with him. Young man in his early 30s. Another man in near our where we work in our wee shop in Finnicky. He brought into hospital with pains and died in the operating theatre. Couldn't be in a better place. But there was not a thing they could do for him. You don't know what a day brings forth. We would like to say you can leave this to another time. We would like to say you can leave it till tomorrow. You can think about it for another week. But we cannot give that assurance. None of us can. None of us can. We don't know what a day brings forth. Boast not thyself even of tomorrow. None of us. For we don't know what a day brings forth. But there is salvation. There's a way to have that assurance that it is well with our souls. And to be safe. A Russian hunter was once traveling across the snow and he heard the howls of starving wolves getting closer and closer. It must be an awful thing to be in that vulnerable state. He knew there was a wooden shack somewhere in his travels, and as he heard the growling, ravenous wolves and hungry wolves getting closer and closer, he became ever more desperate. And eventually, as the wolves' growls came nearer, he could see the shack up ahead. If only he could make it, he would be safe. And he made his way as quickly as possible. And eventually he made it to the shack. He opened the door, closed it shut, and he was safe. And he felt secure because he was behind the door. One door and only one, the chorus says, the children's chorus says, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? Here is the Lord's promise, his promise. I'm glad that we have his authority. I am the door, Jesus said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And enough, sufficient to satisfy the longing of every soul. You'll find sufficient pasture to satisfy your every need. You have the Lord's voice here. To him the porter openeth and the sheep hear his voice. I trust tonight we've heard the Lord's voice. The Bible tells us here, the sheep follow me, for they know my voice. They know his voice. And I trust that you would hear his voice.